It's always an honor being here, and I don't want to just take it for granted that I'm a son-in-law. I deserve to be up here. So, so it's Father's Day, and I'm a father. I've got five kids, so it makes sense I can be here and speak today. And you know, asking the Lord, like, what to preach about today, you know, and it's like, oh man, well, there's the father's heart, there's people with, you know, father wounds and things that need to be addressed. And then on top of that, today is Juneteenth, celebrating the end of slavery in America. I mean, so it's awesome. Yeah, so we can lean into that and just be like breaking every chain and, you know, releasing of captives. And I mean, these things go together perfectly. And so I'm like, Lord, you know, what do you want to speak? What should I preach on? And he's like, Ecclesiastes. Come again? What was that? Because, you see, God, he wants us to rely on him. Like, the Bible is not just a manual, a handbook. You know, and our relationship with him is not just following do's and don'ts. Like, he's alive, he's living, he's active. And so, you know, I can follow in a calendar and say, oh, today, this makes sense, we're going to do this. And God's like, well, but I want to do this. You know, oftentimes in the Gospels, you see the disciples and even the Pharisees, you know, come to Jesus and say, well, what about this? What about this that was in their face? You know, and they're like, this is happening right now. And then he answers with a question because he wants them to think about what he's thinking about, right? And it doesn't mean he's ignoring these things. Father's Day is great. Juneteenth is great. But he wants to do something a little bit different. And honestly, the message of Father's Day and the message of Juneteenth is something that is the gospel. You know, it's always the message. So, yeah, Ecclesiastes, and Pastor Rich summed up the whole book just a few minutes ago when he was up here, and he said, everything is not okay, but that's okay. So that's the whole book of Ecclesiastes. So my sermon's done. Everything is not okay, but that's okay. And Ecclesiastes, if you've read it, it seems kind of depressing. I don't know if you've read it and you've been like, I don't know why this is in the Bible. This is not right. Because it starts off saying, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. Which is just, you know, encouraging in this time. Other translations say vanity, futility, utterly pointless, nothing makes sense, everything is nonsense. These are actually real Bible verses right here. Nothing but smoke, it's of no use, all is for nothing. It's fleeting, absurd, enigmatic, transient. So, that's why we don't hear a lot of sermons on Ecclesiastes. The word is hevel in the original language, and it means like vapor or smoke is the literal translation. So like you can't hold on to it, it's just fleeting. So we'll get to that in a second, but last week, I wasn't here, but I watched it last week online, and it talks, Pastor Rich was saying, he's calling the nation back to the fear of the Lord. And I think that's awesome, and that's powerful. And knowing Cornerstone and knowing Pastor Rich, I know he's on board with what I'm about to say, so I'm not like giving a correction to that, I'm giving an addition to that. So calling the nation back to the fear of the Lord, but it's got to start in our hearts, in each one of us. Like, we have to have our hearts burn for the fear of the Lord. And even though that's a correct word, calling the nation back to it, that word was spoken in this room. And there's people watching online, but the people watching online, the people in this room, that word is for you. Like, call the nation back to the fear of the Lord. It's got to start in this room, in our hearts, in each one of us. And the fear of the Lord is not like a scary movie or something like a mean dad or a you know, terrible judge or whatever. It's the fear of the Lord is like reverential awe. It's he is an all-consuming fire. Like, it's awesome that the message, the worship this morning was focused on like that last song, Reckless Love. Like, he, you know, he all did all this for me. He's coming for me, and it's a personal God. And there's times that we need to rely heavily on that and push in, because it's hard to hear sometimes, and it's hard to accept that he would think of me. But he did, and so that's important. But sometimes we go so far on that we forget that he is an all-consuming fire, as the Bible describes him, an all-consuming fire. So Holy Spirit, we just ask that you'd give us a picture of that. Just give us a glimpse of your reverential awe, of your power. I mean, you think about an all-consuming fire. The sun at its core is 27 million degrees Fahrenheit. All right, and we get hot at like 85. I got my friend Jeff and Trish watching from Phoenix online, and that, you know, Phoenix, it's like 115 on a daily basis in the summer. But it's a dry heat, you know, they say. So 27 million degrees, but it's a dry heat. It's okay. But like, I mean, 27 million degrees Fahrenheit, that is like unfathomable. Like 115 is unfathomable. Like, I don't want to be there. Like, but 27 million degrees, and the sun is like a medium-sized star. Like, so there's a lot bigger stars out there. And there, I mean, so 27 million degrees, and like, is that an all-consuming fire? But yet, he spoke that into existence. Like, he didn't even try that hard. He's just like, sun, and then boom, it's there, burning 27 million degrees. And so he is an all-consuming fire. He created the entire universe that's always expanding, and that we don't even, with all of our scientific knowledge and technology, we don't even have an understanding of the whole thing, not even close. And yet he also did small things like atoms and molecules and whatever else. And I am not a scientist at all, so I'm just going to stop with all the science stuff. And just, like, he is all consuming, all consuming. And we walk in a holy fear, a reverential awe, not afraid to approach him, but we approach with, in Hebrews it says confidence, but here in Ecclesiastes it says, like, let your words be few. Don't just like show up into the presence of God all willy-nilly. He is an all-consuming, all-powerful God, who is also intimate and for each one of us and connecting with each one of us. Another thing Pastor Rich said last week is he is Lord of all, and we are not Lord at all. So he is an all-consuming fire of everything that you own and that you see and that you are and that you're made of. So he's an all-consuming fire. He wants to consume all, because the Bible says everything is for him and through him and to him. And so, like, your finances, he is an all-consuming fire over your finances. He is an all-consuming fire over your health. He is an all-consuming fire over your family, over your friends, over your hurts, over your joys. He is an all-consuming fire. Like, it doesn't matter where you're at. You can be the lap of luxury, doing great, and he is an all-consuming fire over everything there. You can be at a school, in an elementary school in Texas, during a school shooting, and he is an all-consuming fire, even in that moment, in every moment. It's all for him. It all belongs to him. So when you're having financial struggles and you're like, I don't know where this is coming from, I don't know how to handle this, he is an all-consuming fire. The finances are all his anyways. So when we tithe, we're not just giving like a small portion. We're saying, this is all yours. 10% is great. Like, if you want to tithe 10%, that's awesome. But I don't think that's the like, it has to be exactly 10%, because it's all 100% his. And so what do I give, Lord? What do I do? And so he wants it all. He is Lord of all. We are not Lord at all. And so No, let me look this up. Hold on. Pastor Rich read from Psalm 25 last week, 14. The secrets of the Lord are for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. But my translation says, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. So the secrets of the Lord, the friendship of the Lord, it's the same thing, because he tells his friends his secrets. And these are the things, like, he wants you to lean in. He wants you to be, like, to see his overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love. He wants you to experience that. But he also doesn't want you to forget that he's an all-consuming fireball that makes the sun seem like a nice, cool, you know, little thing of ice cream. So, back to the encouraging of Ecclesiastes. Hevel. It's all a vapor. It's all a smoke. So it's like, you know, when it's cold outside and you speak and there's just a little, like, vapor that it goes away. Or if you have, like, a humidifier or, like, a diffuser, you know, and you see, like, the little, like, vapors, and then it just, it's gone in just, you know, moment. And if you tried to grasp it, you can't. Like, so, meaningless isn't my favorite translation of that word, but it's not terrible. I mean, it's a mystery. It's life, everything else, everything around it is, this is all a mystery. You can't hold on to it. And so, like, meaningless, I think, like, a modern translation would be like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your finances are. It doesn't matter what you're going through right now. It doesn't matter. And that's good news. We often read Ecclesiastes like, oh, man, this guy was depressed, fatalistic, and, you know, negative, and got a big negative Nancy Debbie Downer writing this book. And it's like, no, like, this is, it doesn't matter. Everything is not okay, and that's okay, all right? Like, it's okay. It's okay if things are terrible right now. It's okay if things are great right now. And sometimes you can be an amazing person of God and pursue him with all your heart and have nothing but trial and struggle. And there's sometimes there are people who are just wicked and do whatever they want, and they are living it up. And they're living a nice, long life without struggle. And that's not how it should be. If you look at the, you know, the wisdom literature, like Psalms and Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, like, those are the things that aren't supposed to happen, but they often do. I mean, if you look at the description of fools in, like, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and it talks about, like, this person's a fool, like, a person who puts their faith in money, or, you know, charges interest, or does this, you know, does that. Like, I was reading through it recently, and I'm like, this is like every single political person in D.C. I mean, it's just this description of fools is like the people we put our trust in to lead us. And not just in D.C., but, like, our CEOs, like people who are in power and who are looking, you know, celebrities and, you know, all this stuff. Not everybody in D.C., don't get me wrong, I'm not an anarchist or whatever, but it's like these people in power, there's oftentimes the Bible would describe them as fools, all right? And not just the people that we don't vote for, all right? Even some of the people you vote for, too. Like, they're all a little foolish. And it's like, they're leading the nation, and that's fine. They can do that, and we bless them. Like the Ecclesiastes talks about, sometimes there are wicked kings, but you still bless them, and you still pray for them, because God has put them in charge. And so, like, it doesn't matter. These things don't matter. It's just a vapor. Like, it's just a vapor. Our life, James, book chapter 4 says our life is a vapor. It's just here, and then it's gone. And, like, you know, just like we said, like, it can be, like, 85 degrees, like, man, it's hot outside today, you know? 85 degrees compared to, like, 27 million. It's just a slight difference, you know? And 85 years or 90 years or however long we live compared to eternity, like, it's like that difference between the sun and us. Like, it's so much like a vapor, hevel. Meaningless. It's not. I mean, see, I don't like the word meaningless, so we're going to stop saying that. Well, I'll try to. We'll see. But, all right, so, we try to grasp onto it. We try to say, like we'll go back to the foolish leaders, all right? We want Christians and to be in charge and to do this and to lead that, and that's awesome, and I think that's a good thing to fight for. But it's like, at the same time, it's all hevel. It's all a vapor. You can't fully grasp onto it. Like, there have been a lot of powerful nations in the world throughout history, and most of them have fallen, you know, or they have completely changed. And so, like, I love America. It's awesome. I have the benefits of living in America, but it's going to fall someday, all right? It's all going to fall someday, and it's just a vapor. In the grand scheme of things, it's a vapor. Like, when we come before the Lord, when it's all said and done and we stand before him, he's going to say, so who did you vote for in the election of, you know, whatever year? And, like, he's not, like, he doesn't care about your political affiliations, or he doesn't care about, we'll change it. Instead of saying doesn't care, it's, once again, hevel, vapor. It's a vapor about even your church attendance, or how much, you know, how many times you've read the Bible, like all these things, like your prayer life, like what you're doing with your finances. It's like these things, you should take care of them. You should be a good steward. You should do all these things correctly that we normally teach, and that's all right. It's all good. But in the end, what he's going to say, and when you're face-to-face with him, is like, did you learn to love? Did you experience my love? Did you draw closer to me? Did you become more like me? Like these other things, vapor. All right? These other things, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. All right? Lean in to who he is. And that's what Ecclesiastes, it's Father's Day. It's not, I'll do a dad joke. It's not Ecclesiastes. Oh, there we go. Sorry, Rachel. That's my wife. I told her I wouldn't say that. Here we go. And see, now I lost my train of thought. That's what I get. No, it's not this negative Ecclesiastes. It's like, it's saying, like, things are going to be, like, it can read fatalistic because you're reading it, and it's just like, yeah, we're all going to die. Like, the wise are going to die, the poor are going to die, the fools are going to die, and, you know, and then we read that, and we're just like, okay, I should have read Proverbs instead. This is bad. But it's like, no, like, if you dig down into it and look beyond the sometimes offensive, you know, teachings, you see that it's like, it doesn't matter. These things are going to happen. Yeah, we're all going to die. But enjoy, be content. Be content with who you are in Christ. It'll say, like, you know, eat, drink, and be merry. Like, but it's more than just enjoying those little things. It's saying, like, those things at the end of time when it, you know, learn to love, draw closer to the Lord. These are the things that matter. These other things, I mean, I get it. It's important, these other things, but it's also not important, right? It matters. Like when people go through, I mentioned like a school shooting, like, you know, if I went up to one of the parents and said, like, it doesn't matter. Like, that's just, it matters. It matters, but it doesn't. It doesn't. That's hard. Like, and I've really thought about that, like since preparing for this in the past couple weeks and thinking of that specifically and saying it doesn't matter. Like that, I can't just say that flippantly. I can't just say that and not understand that it completely matters. But at the same time, it doesn't, because it's just a vapor. Like, your sorrow, your grief is real. I'm not like saying it's not, but it's a vapor. Like, he is solid and he is good. And your vapor of sorrow may be your entire life. It just may be. Like, we are here, we are Pentecostal, charismatic, we love Holy Spirit and falling down and shaking and getting healed and breakthrough. Sozo is, you know, complete healing, complete salvation, complete deliverance. Like, we believe that, press in, keep believing that. Like, but at the same time, sometimes there's not breakthrough. Sometimes there's not healing. There should be. And so press in for it. There should be, but sometimes there's not. I went to Global Awakening's School of Ministry a bunch of years ago, and a guy who was a year ahead of me is Jonathan Seaver. Does anyone know Jonathan Seaver? I know you guys. Yeah. So Jonathan Seaver, awesome guy. He's a year older than me. He was a year ahead of me at Global. He went on to intern with Randy Clark and travel the world. And then he started getting more and more frail, and they didn't know why, and more weaker and weaker. And I think eventually it ended up being Lyme's disease, that it was caught like way, way late. All right. And so he was interning for Randy Clark and going through some major medical conditions. And Randy prayed for him, and he got all these other, you know, big name Holy Spirit guys to pray for him. And they've seen tons of healings, and they're praying for him, and just nothing. And then eventually he couldn't intern anymore because he physically couldn't keep up, and he moved back home to Illinois, and I've talked to him a couple times. He has Lyme's disease so bad, and he has so much pain in his body that he lies down 23 and a half hours a day, and it hurts. Everything hurts. Like, he can't. For years, he hasn't been able to shake someone's hand. He can't walk. He can't, like, he's not paralyzed. It's just all, like, pain. His eyelids hurt. His eyelids hurt him. Everything hurts him. And so he used to just, okay, so I will listen to audiobooks because I can't read anymore because my eyes hurt too much. So I'll listen to audiobooks, but now it doesn't matter what volume it's at, it's too loud and it hurts his ears. And so he can't listen to audiobooks. And he's been using his time wisely. He's like, I'll learn languages, I'll learn Chinese, I'll do all this stuff. Like, and he's learning Chinese, he knows Mandarin. Like, he's an amazing guy, and he just kept pressing in, and the enemy just kept taking things away. And he can't do anything except lay there all day. And yet, if you're saying, Jonathan, how you doing? I am amazing. Like, God is so good. And he can't stop talking about how awesome God is. Like, how good he is. Like, he is insane. Like, that's insane. Like, I stub my toe and start swearing. Something goes wrong and we're just like, this is terrible. Like, this is terrible. Like, our life is terrible. Like, God doesn't love me. And then I look at Jonathan Seaver, and I'm just like, okay, like, why hasn't God healed him? I don't know, but it's a vapor. It's just a vapor. Like, it's here today, it's gone tomorrow. And your today in that scenario may be your entire life. And Ecclesiastes talks about, like, sorrow and mourning can actually be a better teacher than laughter and joy. I think laughter and joy can still be an amazing teacher. I'm not saying that it's not. It's saying that, like, I want to know all of God. God is so big and so grand, this all-consuming fire, and yet Jesus was known, as the Bible calls him, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, heavily acquainted with grief. And yet when grief comes my way, I go running, especially, like, I love our stream of churches, charismatic Pentecostal. I love it. And yet, like, our stream of churches is like, you know, sorrow comes our way and we're like, it's the enemy. Get away from me in Jesus' name. You know, and we get all preachy and stuff like that. And that's awesome. Even Pastor Rich was just doing that, was saying, like, what David was going through. You know, if he just wouldn't listen, there's a real enemy. And there is. But there's some times where something bad is happening and we refuse to listen and hear what the Lord is doing. You know, we just, like today, if I would have just assumed, okay, let's do a Father's Day message, it would have been fine. You know, like, I can teach about the Father's heart and stuff like that. I could teach the Juneteenth message or something like that, and it would have been good. But That's not what he wanted to do. And so something bad comes against you. Yes, the Lord is against sickness and, you know, whatever. But there's times that this stuff happens, and we don't even want to take this moment to say, okay, God, what are you doing? Okay, God, what are you going to do in this scenario? I know what the Bible says you're going to do, but what are you going to do in my life here on this day, in this hour, in this season, in this pain? What are you going to do? Because sometimes we have to go through adversity and not just skirt around it. Like sometimes a lesson, and the adversity is not from the Lord, don't get me wrong, but like we can still learn something through a sorrow or a pain or an adversity. Like Noah, my son, the other day we make him go for a walk when the weather's nice, and we're like, you gotta go for a walk, get your energy out, get some exercise. And so the first day of this season that he was doing that, we live an old farmhouse, but the farmer doesn't live there anymore. We do. But the farm's all behind us, and there's this big, driveway, if you will, that just goes through the farmer's fields. And so the farmer said we can walk on there. So we walk on there a lot. And so Noah's down by, like, the silos and the farm equipment, and I'm up on my deck in the backyard, and I just hear him shouting out, like, my belly hurts! I can't make it home! And so, like, I'm not gonna shout back. I mean, this is a good distance away. So I drive down there with my doors locked and my window open just a little bit. And I go down there, and like, I understand it. Like, I understand it. He probably does have a cramp. He's probably not making it up. I mean, you never know with kids. They could be. But I don't think he is. And like, it's hot outside, and I'm sitting in my car with my air conditioning, and I mean, it was a hard struggle for me because I had to turn the air conditioning down a little bit to hear him. And so, like, I get, like, he's going through, like, something, and I would just be like, yeah, hop in the car, I'll drive you back. That's fine. But I felt like he needed to just push through. And not just on this walk. Like, he wants to join Boy Scouts, and they do, like, you know, huge hikes and huge, you know, all these things that are going to be like a trial for him. And if I always just give him a ride home, you know, it's just, he's not going to get that. And so, you know, we had a little conversation, and he's trying to plead his case, you know, through the little crack in the window. And I'm like, I think you got to walk home. And so he does, he ends up walking home. And, you know, just a few minutes later, like his cramp was gone, and he was able to walk home just fine. But like that, I didn't take enjoyment in making him go through that adversity. It would have been easier just to give him a ride home instead of having a little, it wasn't an argument. It was a debate, really. And so, I mean, that is such a minor thing. That's not like a Jonathan Seaver type thing. But it doesn't matter if it's major or minor or whatever it is. It's a vapor. And what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with this, with these vapors, these, you know, vanities or meaninglessness or whatever it says, or whatever translation your Bible might say in Ecclesiastes? What are you going to do with that? Because once again, the Lord's not going to say, like, you know, did you go through adversity? Did you, you know, do this? Did you, you know, run a marathon or whatever? He's just going to, you know, Jonathan Seaver, you know, how did, you know, did you witness to all these people? You know, did you give your money to, I mean, he's not making money. He's on disability. Like we can't keep him to a standard that you might keep someone else to. Because once again, the Bible's not a handbook, a manual. It's just leading you to know him more and listen to him. And what are you doing in your vapor, in your time? In Philippians, And so this is all sorrow stuff, but let's get to some, like, things that you could brag about, things you could enjoy. Paul, in Philippians 3, he starts bragging, which a lot of the stuff, it's cultural at the time. And so I'll read it, but really he's saying all the things that people are looking at him and saying, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty amazing. Like he, Philippians 3, 4, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. And like all these things, like nowadays in America 2022, we're like, okay, cool. But like then, like people are like, oh, that's awesome. Like that is something that you can be proud of. And then he says, but whatever gain I had, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. And it goes on and it says, like we want to know God and the power of his resurrection. And if you get to one of our Holy Spirit meetings, like, you want to know God and the power of his resurrection? People are like, yeah, and they're freaking out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the very next thing it says is, I know God and the power of his resurrection and to share in his sufferings and become like him in death. And then we're like, yeah, yeah. Like, it's not as happy. But it's like, all these things, it's just a vapor. The good things, the bad things, it's just a vapor. So, I guess two more points. Like we make a lot of things about results. Like we want to have meaning. We want to have like this, these need to make sense. Like we need to see healings or salvations, or we need to give so much money or do this or support this missionary or that missionary. And like we think about results, but God's not about the results. It's about the process, because all those results, they're vapors. You know, those aren't what matters. Those aren't what matter. I think of Mother Teresa. She, like, in anyone's mind, Christian, non-Christian, doesn't matter. No one would consider her a failure. But if you went by results, she was a complete failure. Like, she loved on people, was Jesus to people, and that's awesome. But their lives usually didn't change. You know, because she loved people in the lowest of the low of their society and who were sick and dying, and they would just feel loved as they were dying, and then they die, and they wouldn't be healed, and their financial situation wouldn't change, and how the rest of society looked at them wouldn't change. But so there's no results in that way, but she learned love and shared love and acted like Christ and drew people into Christ and made them more like Christ and herself more like Christ. That's a great picture of this, of vapors. Just absolute just vapors. Like everything is just a vapor. And so lastly, I mean, we look at what's around us and we look at like gas prices. Last week, Pastor Rich said, I could see it going up to $6 a gallon. Yeah. Totally. It totally could. I'm not a naysayer or whatever. I'm not even going to say this is prophecy. This is just, you look at history and history repeats itself. And as I said, like, nations fall, economies collapse. I'm not saying it's going to happen in our lifetime, but it's going to happen. Like $6 a gallon, if that's the worst that we're going to live through, then that's not bad compared to how the majority of people in the history of the world throughout the history of time have lived their lives. I mean, when you compare our lives to anyone else, the majority of people, even like kings and queens from like 1,000 years ago, we're living in more luxury than they were. I mean, we have running water and electricity. Like things may get worse, but that's okay. Everything is not okay, and that's okay. Because these things are not your savior. These things are not your joy, your blessings. And you can derive joy from them. You know, I can get joy out of electricity and finances and whatever else. And so I'm not saying just like throw everything away and not be joyful. You can be joyful. You should be joyful. But these things are not our joy. Our joy is actually in him, and it's deeper than that. And so Holy Spirit, we come to you. We know life is a vapor. We know these things are surround us, the good, the bad, the ugly, they're all just vapors, Lord. But we want an encounter with you. We want an encounter with you because you are forever. You are eternal. You are good. You are perfect. You are for us. You are not against us. You are all-powerful and all-consuming, and yet you are intimate. You are inside of us. You are around us. You are guiding us and leading us. You have created universes, but you are still knitting us in our mother's womb. And you are still guiding us step by step, every step of the way. And if we stumble and fall and face the wrong direction and even get mad at you and angry, you're still patient with us. And you still keep drawing us in and drawing us in. And so, Lord, I want to allow myself to be drawn in. Lord, I know it's all yours, that you are all consuming, that it all belongs to you, it's all from you, it's all for you and to you and through you. And remind me of that. Remind me of that, Lord, so that I can not worry when I have to replace my roof and I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. Because it's all yours. It's your roof. It's your finances to pay for the roof. Lord, like no matter what comes my way, I bless you. I bless what's happening around me. And I know it's just a vapor, good or bad. But I want more of you. In Jesus' name.